Hi everyone, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me today. I believe today we are going to address the topic of angels and archangels. I know that there are millions of videos, YouTube videos, and just any audio file you can find available to you about angels and archangels. My purpose today is to obviously kind of define what they are, and obviously give you some experiences that I've had on my end in terms of my relationships with angels, how I met them, what I know about them, what they've taught me, and just try to provide you a little bit of guidance in terms of how you can hear them, work with them, etc. So thank you for listening and joining me today. Just to kind of do a quick recap of last week, I did speak about spirit guides, how to work with them, who they are, etc. And there are multiple reasons that I wanted to cover that. Obviously, it's very important to your own psychic development because they are a part of that. However, they are there to guide you in terms of how your spirit grows. They kind of nudge you to make sure they stay on your path. In general, whether it's like your, you know, romantic life, whether it's about money, whether it's about work, career, whatever. So similar to the job of your guides, your angels kind of do the same thing, right? So I spoke a little bit about whether or not your angels could act as your spirit guide, and I said yes and no. The only difference being that angels have never incarnated. Now, I know that is actually debatable because I'm sure many of you have heard, if not read, angel stories where people have angelic encounters in the form of a human, like being rescued, let's say, from an accident, like an angel appeared as a man and then disappeared before their eyes. So in terms of having angelic intervention in that way, such as, I would say, embodying an actual human form, is that possible? I really think anything is possible. So perhaps they do, or perhaps they're able to incarnate in some capacity as a human, but I have not had that experience. However, in terms of guiding your, let's say, spiritual development, your psychic development, or whatever, they also are a part of that if, I mean, I think they are in general. Some people would argue that if it's not within your own belief system, then perhaps they're not there. I think they're there anyway. However, you may define them on different terms, which is completely fine. I'm not saying that I definitively have the answers and this is the way it is, because that's absolutely not the truth. So anyway, I kind of digress a little bit, but the purpose of today's talk is really to kind of give you my perspective on terms of your angelic crew and how they actually help you in general, not just related to psychic development, but similar to your spirit guide in all facets of your life. So first, let's just talk about the angels, or the concept of the guardian angels. So I'm sure many of you who come from a Christian background, and even if you don't, you'll see in pop culture, and I'm sure growing up, you've heard that angels are essentially messengers of God, if you will. It's a Greek word, and it does translate into being a messenger of God. So therefore, their job is to essentially deliver messages of love, guidance, assistance, etc. So how do we know about their existence? Well, we do find in the Bible, our big reference book, of course, one mention specifically from, and I'm just putting quotes around God, right? God's word, about angels in general. So I know in the book of Psalms, we are told that God will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. So that phrase has been utilized time and time again to pretty much state that there is some sort of angelic being in your presence that is guarding you, that is watching you, and it says in all your ways. So we can kind of translate that into every facet of your life, right? So I think that that is the most specific piece of information relaying to us that, yes, there is this presence available to help us. And we also have incidents in the Bible where there's kind of talk of the angel of the Lord or just angels in general. So they're being referenced, as these messengers are being referenced a few times here and there. I know in the book of Genesis, we find that we find Jacob's experience with the angels as well. So we have kind of that piece of information. I know in the book of Acts, we also have Peter's encounter with an angel as well, right? So there are stories where these messengers do appear for help, for guidance. I would even say sometimes for protection as well. So in terms of angels, how do they actually help us? And I think this is a really good question because, again, you hear these wonderful angel stories from, you know, from people who have these catastrophic events and all of a sudden some sort of angelic being appears. And how else do they actually help you? if you're not having a catastrophic event in life, how else are they involved? So as I said earlier, in Psalms, we find they help you in all your ways. And from my experience as well, there are various types of angels for various types of tasks. So we do have angels that are specifically there to help you in times of your health, but I think always, not just when you're having some sort of like life-threatening illness, but also just the maintenance of your health. So you do kind of have healing angels. You also have romance angels, which I think everybody would like to hear that. And I'm sure most of you, when you hear this, you're thinking, oh, cherubs, possibly. I have only seen that once in my life during meditation. Otherwise, I've never seen actual cherubs form when I ask questions about, let's say, my love life. Okay. We also have angels of abundance, of course, angels to help with your finances. Not just for the maintenance or the reparation of your finances, but for the creation of abundance for yourself. Those that help you with your career and just making really smart financial decisions. You have angels that help, again, with your health, maybe in terms of fitness, to motivate you, to guide you physically, just to help you in terms of your exercise. I've been told, but again, I don't know this for sure, that you have a specific group of angels assigned to helping you with, let's say, with your home, right? With selling, with finding, with financing, with relocation, etc. So if I was smart when I moved, I would have asked for that specific type of guidance. But I guess I was just kind of asking my guardian angels for that kind of help. You also have angels in terms of helping with your family. So in terms of conceiving, adopting perhaps, making decisions, maintaining, let's say, the family unit and even peace and, you know, helping with being more compassionate towards one another. So you do have, I believe, angels that are kind of assigned to the family unit as well. And I've also been told that you have angels of beauty, which I think is kind of interesting, that kind of help with beautification in some capacity, whether it's helping to, again, maintain your health. I've been told that they do work under one particular archangel that help you with just feeling more attractive and being more comfortable in your own skin. So I'm sure if we were to sit down and try to think of every possible issue we have in life, I'm sure there could be some sort of guardian angel assigned to that as well. However, I will say, For myself, I really just talk to my guardian angels, and I've never really, like when I pray or when I'm just in meditation, I never really have ever thought to sit down and say, okay, I only want to talk to the angels of abundance to help with the maintenance of my, you know, help me get some more money. It's never crossed my mind to like categorize in that way. However, I think similar to your spirit guides, some of them have very specific assignments and strengths, and they can help you in those ways. So if you are looking to, let's say, improve upon I don't know, your finances attract love, then it would behoove you to maybe kind of work with one of those subsets of angels. So let's talk about whether or not your angels have a gender. I think this is really important to address because I remember being in a class or teaching a class a few years ago, and there was a student in there who, I'm trying to find the best word to describe this student. He kept challenging me every step of the way, which is fine. However, I remember talking about this topic, and he tried to correct me in terms of, you know, which angel was female and male, which I thought was interesting. But the most important piece of information for me is that, or that I learned from above directly, is that these beings of light really have no gender. They really don't. We assign them a gender because it makes it easier for us to understand. And also it is kind of easier in a way when they come to you. If they come in one gender all the time, then it's easy to identify who they are, right? For the sake of understanding. So I do understand that appearance. Some even say that your angels kind of embody a very specific type of energy that you could probably define as being masculine or feminine. So I do understand that classification as well. However, as I've been taught directly, they have no specific gender. They have a vibration that they carry. So in terms of your guardian angels appearing to you, they may appear as, you know, let's say two male angels, or they may appear as, you know, male and female, what have you, again, for the sake of you being able to identify and build that relationship and have that recognition. So don't get so much caught up, though, in the gender. As I said, there was a student in my class where, and I'll talk about Archangel shortly, you know, I was talking about Archangel Gabriel as a male, and he corrected me in the class saying, well, you're wrong. Archangel Gabriel is a female. And I... You know, during those very critical times in the classroom, I had to explain that, you know, again, for the sake of your recognition, the angel will appear for you a certain way. It doesn't mean that the angel is going to appear that way for everybody else, just as you know, okay? So so in terms of working more closely with your guardian angels, number one, let me address this question of how many you have. I really think it varies. Again, it depends on what you're going through in life. However, from my own understanding and my own knowledge, you have at least two. And I remember when I first started working with mine, I had two step forward and they gave me their names, and it was a male and female. So they were the two most prominent angels. But as I've said, there was one time I was meditating and I did see a couple of cherubs kind of come forward, and I was kind of surprised because I actually didn't know whether or not I believed in that, but apparently they're there to help, you know, with that aspect of my life. So, yes, I think that you have all types in your space at any given moment. However, there's something more pressing in your life that needs your focus or attention, or that you've been focusing on, therefore they're going to be more present in your energy and your space. So again, let's talk about working with your guardian angels first before moving on to talking about the archangels. So you'll find many a text giving you very specific incantations to bring them forward into your space, to be able to hear them, see them, speak with them, etc. Now, it's kind of interesting because I was having a talk with a friend of mine yesterday kind of about just incantations in general, and I think that there is power, obviously, behind, let's say, bringing a very specific energy into being if you give it all your focused energy and attention, right? And intention in general matters. However, someone else's incantation is not more powerful than you creating your own. And if we kind of go back to I'm forgetting my frame of reference here. If we kind of go back to hermetics, there we go. One of the first principles is that like everything is mental, right? So that means that all thoughts are everything is a creation of thoughts, right? So for us, our thoughts here manifest in terms of experiences, right? However, you have to remember when we're manifesting something into being, when we're trying to bring in a very particular type of energy, it is not just the thought that matters. It's also the power of the word. So it's the thought plus the word, right? And the vibration that it carries and the belief together that kind of can bring forth what it is you're trying to create. It is the same thing with pulling some sort of energy from beyond to kind of bring that into your space. So again, going back to incantations, right? It is the power of the word combined with the thought and the intention, right? And the belief that makes it work, makes it very effective. So when you're calling for, let's say, your guardian angels and you want to work with them, your thought of them, your intention to work with them, and your words that you utilize and the power and belief of those words bring them into being, truthfully. Now, even if you express, I would say, a little bit of doubt in terms of them being present, they'll still be there. However, in order to see them, hear them, again, your belief and your intention is going to be crucial in that aspect. So let's say that you want to begin to establish that relationship with them. Well, you can do this in meditation, like close your eyes, do the breathing exercises, clear your chakras, maybe do a winding staircase meditation and call them forth. They'll be there. You might not necessarily see them. You might not necessarily hear them. Maybe you'll feel them. It kind of depends, again, on what gifts you have. However, in terms of being able to establish a stronger relationship, I do think the first step is talking to them, acknowledging their presence, and just kind of, just having a conversation, like a daily conversation with them. And the intention is extremely important when it comes to that as well. So you can do that in meditation, which I think is a great first step, or you can just start a regular conversation that you would like anybody else and just try to start that dialogue as well, and they'll be present. However, if we kind of try to address, well, how do we see them? How do we hear them? This is similar to a certain extent of trying to see and hear and feel your spirit guide. The only difference is the vibration is different. So again, you're trying to raise your vibration high enough so that the energy can reach that of the guardian angel. So kind of a good question here is, well, are angels' energies higher than that of a spirit guide? I would argue yes, only in the sense, not in terms of like inferiority, superiority, but only in the sense that your spirit guide has to lower their energy to help you here and give you nudges here. They have incarnated into human form many, many, many times. So I feel like their energy is different in that sense. However, I think angelic energy is just a little bit higher. I think also because, as I said earlier, I do not know whether they have actually manifested into human form. Doesn't mean that they can't lower their vibration enough, but it is my understanding that their vibration is faster, hence the energy is a little bit lighter. So from my understanding, I had to take steps to get, first and foremost, to my spirit guide, which took a long time. It wasn't overnight for me. They didn't just pop up out of the woodworks like, oh, wonderful, you meditated once. Same thing with meeting my guardian angels. It took a lot of work. I never even thought I could do something like that. I never even expected it either. So it does take a lot of practice. It's the same. It's almost like the same path. It's your intention, your beliefs. It's the meditation, and it's really your willingness that's required to work with them, right? And the more you establish that dialogue, the more time you invest, the energy and devotion, it'll be easier to kind of reach them. Now, if we kind of talk about, again, how to see them and how to hear them, like I said, it's similar to reaching your spirit guide. The meditation is required, as always, right? Meditation helps us, again, to remove all of our blocks helps us to see past the third dimension, helps us to tune into a very different frequency. We kind of detach ourselves from the material plane, right? Uplifting our vibration higher. And again, depending upon what your psychic abilities are, what your gifts are, whatever you want to call them, that is what's going to be the easiest for you. So you'll be able to either see your guardian angels a lot easier if you are naturally clairvoyant. You'll be able to hear them if you're naturally clairaudient, and you'll be able to feel them if you're naturally clairsentient, right? Everybody has at least one strength. All right. Let's move on to archangels, since I know we're kind of running out of time. I think a lot of people are very familiar with archangels. again, we find them in the Bible. We find Archangel Michael in the Bible. We also find Archangel Gabriel in the Bible, which is interesting. I'm talking about the King James Version here. However, I believe these are the only two names we actually find in the Bible. So we know if we were to look at Michael, I believe in the Catholic Church, they've made Archangel Michael a saint, which is very interesting to me. I'm not Catholic. However, it'd be kind of, I don't know, I think it would be really great exploration to kind of see why they felt the need to make him a saint when the saints are spirits, I guess, who've already incarnated into human form. And Michael, from my understanding, and maybe I'm ignorant here, from my knowledge, has never incarnated into human form. So it's just kind of interesting for me. So in terms of, I believe in the book of Daniel in the Bible, I believe you're going to find stories about Archangel Michael and Archangel Gabriel as well. I believe also in Luke, you're going to find the story of Gabriel coming forth, like announcing the births of John the Baptist and even Jesus Christ. We also find Archangel Michael appearing in Revelations as well. And I believe in the book of Jude. So we do find these two recurring archangels appearing. So those are the two archangels that are referenced, I believe, in Christianity. However, you do have those other secret books of the Bible, which are not really that secret, like the Apocrypha, where these are essentially scriptural texts that aren't in the canonical Bible. However, they're still regarded as being sacred. And some of these other extra texts, and I'm putting that in quotes, are part of, I believe, the Bible of the Eastern Orthodox and even other churches. So this includes the famous Book of Enoch. And I read this book when I was 19, so many moons ago. And I remember reading it at the time thinking, I don't understand what the hell I'm reading. Even, I believe last year, I kind of went back through it again and I was like, God, this is kind of strange. What an interesting story, right? However, the Book of Enoch, which again I said, is regarded as being like part of a very sacred scriptural text, does discuss other archangels. So it references Michael, the Archangel Gabriel, but it does also reference an archangel named Uriel, Metatron, and Raguel. We do find, and I believe, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, in the Catholic Church, there is the Book of Tobit, and the Book of Tobit is not in the King James Version of the Bible. However, the Book of Tobit does include the story of Archangel Raphael, who's helping an individual named Tobias, and I believe Archangel Raphael is kind of teaching him how to create healing ointments for his father. We also have in the Book of Esdras, and I think this is recognized by the Coptic Church, it refers to Archangel Raphael as well, and calling him the Angel of Salvation. So again, we see these other, and I'm putting that in quotes, additional archangels mentioned in other sacred texts. So it's kind of interesting to see that there are other archangels, if you will, being identified. So moving forward to the Islamic scripture, the Quran, which was revealed to Muhammad, it's interesting to note that the Quran, this scripture was revealed to Muhammad by an archangel named Gabriel. And I find this the most fascinating because in the Quran, you also have the archangels Michael, Raphael, and even the archangel Azrael noted in that book. So it's kind of great to do a check, like, and reference all these books and do a comparison, because you'll see some of the same archangels being referenced quite a bit. And that's just, for me, it's very exciting to hear that. I think for most of us, we need that reassurance, right? That they do exist, number one, but number two, that they're being mentioned elsewhere around in other texts and other belief systems. And I think that's kind of it's a reassurance to let us know that yes, they are present. Yes, they are messengers. Yes, they are guiders, protectors, healers, etc. That there is this external energy, and I'm only using the word external because the energy is quote unquote different, but coming from the same source. Okay, nothing is really separate in truth. But knowing that we do have that God, if you will, your higher power has sent a lot of help, a lot of guidance your way during your trip here. So let's talk about some of the archangels, the celestial messenger angels. And again, you find these angels in various texts. So if you're kind of sitting here questioning, well, where did all these other angels, archangels come from in the Bible? We only have these two mentioned. Well, again, if you kind of look at the Apocrypha and look at Eastern Orthodox churches, and I believe it's even like the Coptic Church, you're going to find other texts that just were not included as a part of this biblical canon. So kind of going back to, if we go back and think about how the Bible was kind of put together, there were books that were intentionally picked to fulfill a narrative, and others that were discarded because it didn't fall in alignment with the narrative. But it doesn't mean that those texts were not as valid, right? That they didn't have very important stories and messages to tell. So the archangels that have been acknowledged and that I'm more familiar with, and I'll have to tell you some stories about some of them. First, let's talk about Ariel. His name means lion or lioness of God. He is the angel of courage. And again, he, she will appear to you as necessary, female, male. Azrael is known as the angel of death. However, his name means whom God helps. Archangel Shamuel, his name means he who seeks or sees God. Archangel Gabriel has multiple roles. he or she is the angel of wisdom, mercy, revelation. Very commonly recognized as the messenger angel in the Bible. However, in Hebrew, Gabriel means the mighty one and hero of God. And more commonly known as, his name is known as God is my strength. We find Archangel Haniel, he or she, his name or her name means glory of God. Jeremiah or Remiel, you'll find those names interchangeable, meaning mercy of God. Archangel Jophiel, she is the angel of beauty or the beauty of God. She's also kind of known to help with creative projects. Archangel Metatron. I believe Archangel Metatron is referenced in Kabbalah. Correct me if I'm wrong. His name means angel of the presence. Of course, Archangel Michael, the angel of protection. His name means he who is like God. Archangel Raguel, his name means friend of God. Archangel Raphael is the angel of healing. His name means God heals. Archangel Raziel, his name means the secret of God. Archangel Uriel is the angel of light and of fire. His name means God is my light or fire of God. And then we find another archangel by the name of Zadkiel, or sometimes I found this as Hesediel or Hesediel. His name means the angel of freedom and of mercy. But in Hebrew, his name means righteousness of God. So, kind of going back to some of my experiences and encounters with a couple of these archangels and how I kind of decided to try to meet them. I never really intended, like I never sat down one day and thought, okay, I need to meet the archangels. again, I never really thought of, I guess when I was first starting out, if you will, or when I was in the middle of my practice, again, I really didn't know anything about spirit guides. I had heard of Archangel Michael, obviously, in the Bible. I knew of Archangel Gabriel because I had played Archangel Gabriel many times in our church plays. however, I did not have the knowledge or understanding that I do now in terms of being able to access an angel, an archangel, being able to talk to, see, and even feel an archangel, and believing that that was even possible never was a part of my belief system. I guess early on, I just kind of thought they're up there surrounding the throne of God, and I'm little me down here, bad spirit, listener, or something like that. However, I'm trying to think of which angel I think I encountered first. And to be perfectly honest, I have to say, I believe it was Archangel Michael. How did this happen? Well, let me jump back to why I decided to try to talk to the archangels. I had been speaking to my spirit guide at that time for a few months, and I was kind of wondering. I'd been listening to like a series of podcasts and watching videos just about the New Age movement in general. And then, you know, I was reading about channeling, and it was so much information. And then I remember one day kind of listening to some podcast, and this woman came on and she was talking about angels and how to communicate with angels and how it's very easy, etc. And I was thinking, huh, really? And I was very skeptical for quite some time. However, at that point, I'd been meditating for quite some time and working with my guide more closely. And so I just pretty much straight up asked him, you know, like, look, is this even a possibility? Does this really exist? Can I, you know, talk to an archangel? And he told me, yes, you know, again, you know, it's simply the thought of it will bring them, you know, simply the belief, like all of that together will bring their presence. However, he was very clear on the fact that all of the archangels have a very strong vibration. The energy is very intense. Therefore, it's like your energy, your vibration you need to be able to raise it quite high. Also, you need to be able to maintain it. Also, you need to be able to kind of like hold that energy when it's there. So it was really challenging. At least he scared me at the very beginning. Kind of felt like a loser, like, oh, okay, I don't know if I can do that. However, I do remember meeting my guardian angels first and being able to hold that connection and raise my vibration high enough for that. But then slowly I was kind of able to raise it high enough for the archangels. And number one, I know a lot of this information I'm giving you is kind of vague. Again, because raising your vibration, raising your energy, holding that connection, you will know what that means to you after much practice. I can liken it to a sensation in the body, because having an experience with even your spirit guide and your angels, you have a feel, it's a feeling. When your energy is too high for the physical body, there's almost like a clash, if you will, a clash of energies, where the effect is that you feel sick. There's more of a nauseous feeling. And this is my experience when you are working with the higher realms, even your own spirit guide, and being able to maintain them, their energy, and that conversation and that connection, you have to also kind of overcome that feeling of nausea, dizziness, the floating sensation. There's a lot to it, and it takes a lot of practice, but also you need to be able to raise your vibration and keep it there for quite some time. And there were moments when I was having conversations with the archangels where I was starting to feel so sick, I had to go throw up. And it took a lot of practice. But again, that might not be everybody's experience. I'm just putting that out there. So I remember after meditating one day and clearing my energy and praying and lighting candles and doing the works, of course, I sat down and I called upon Archangel Michael, the first experience I had. And I felt this rush, wave of super intense energy to the point where it felt like massive pressure built up on my head. So much I thought my head was going to explode. And I started to feel really dizzy and tired very, very quickly. And then I heard the voice. And because my natural ability is to hear. And it was very loud and it was very archaic. I don't know how else to explain that. I know that's not everybody's experience, but my dialogues with the archangels, the language is more archaic than it is modern. However, interacting with him, he gave me a lot of really great guidance. He was very blunt, no nonsense at all. And I mean that, no nonsense. Some of the questions that I asked, I think he was like rolling his eyes. Like, I think you already know the answers to these. However, it took some time to kind of maintain that connection. And when, in terms of hearing him, I could hear him speak to me like he was right there. And the funny thing is when you're beginning to communicate like that, your angels and guides and archangels already know what you're about to say before you even say it. So it's like the thought isn't even fully formed and they already know and they're already kind of answering those questions for you. And it's like, geez, okay. Same thing with the archangels. So I had some very insightful messages from Archangel Michael. Very, very profound. So much so, it's like, how do you know it's coming from them? How do you know it's not a demon stepping forward, right? You see this a lot when Christians are trying to combat a lot of this stuff, which I totally get, right? Because even Jesus tells you to test the spirits. You got to test them to know who's who, right? It's a feeling. It's a gut feeling. And oh, there's a piece of information I forgot to tell you about the guardian angels. I'm writing this down so that I can come back to this information. So it's a feeling. It's a knowingness that there is a presence that is stronger than you, but there's also a deep love associated with that. And the message, you can always kind of tell by the type of message that you get and the answers that you get in response, right? There's something so profound about the messages that come from there, things that you would have never thought of. And there is a profound truth that resonates very deeply that it's kind of hard to believe otherwise. And now I know that the alternative argument is that, well, the devil comes in many faces, they're tricksters, etc. Yes and no. My experience, and I've talked about this before with darker energies, is that they want something from you. They always ask for something in return. This is not the case with the archangels. Again, the sensation of their presence is so unbelievably strong. It's like the body can't handle it. That is not my experience with the darker energies. The lower energies, it feels like, there's something feels off. It's not strong at all. There's something very uncomfortable about the energy. So you can kind of make that discernment there. Okay, so let's move to seeing Archangel Michael. What does he look like? Well, I think most of us kind of move to the Renaissance. We naturally think of the Renaissance, depictions of the angels, which I do too. I think they're so gorgeous. I don't mind kind of articulating that vision, for them. Do they appear that way? Well, yes and no for the archangels. They will appear if you have the sight. That's the thing. My sight has taken a very long time for it to develop for various reasons, and I will talk about that one day. So I was always hearing them, all of the archangels and angels, and they sound different. Do they sound different? That's a good question too. I'll come back to that one. So in terms of being able to see them, yes, you might see them in terms of the standard Renaissance looking painting that you would always see, right? Very stereotypical depiction of the archangel. Sometimes they might look that way in the face and the body, but the clothes might be modern. So it really just depends on I think there's variations in terms of how they might appear to you, but the message is so important. So don't get so caught up in what they look like. I mean, it's beautiful. I'm not going to lie. Some of them are like draped in gold and the energy is so beautiful. However, again, they want you to focus on the message and taking that information to help, you know, give you, to help guide you here while on earth. So you might get various ways that you see them. However, you will also see them as sparks of light in different colors. Each archangel, from my own personal knowledge and experience, they vibrate to a certain color. So for me, like Archangel Michael vibrates to a royal blue. For my friend, when she sees Archangel Michael, he vibrates to a dark purple. So it's kind of interesting that way. But for example, also like Archangel Gabriel, I'll see him as like a yellow spark or a gold spark. So these are sparks of light. And when I say I see them, I should address whether I see this with my eyes closed or open. Both. It is both. Most of the time, though, I see with my eyes open. Like I could be working on a project, reading a book, and I'll look up and boom, right in my face. Or not only will it flash as a spark, it'll be like a little orb. And I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? You know, they're usually hanging around to help you with whatever it is that you're doing. So each archangel is going to have like their own color to a certain extent that you'll see. You'll even see pink, right? Which I've seen around people's faces sometimes, like little sparks of pink light, which is very cool, but I've never seen that for myself. So you'll see gold, white. Like for me, the guardian angels always come as white sparks, and I'll see them kind of floating around people at times. So don't think that I'm walking around just seeing this all the time. That's not the case. It appears when it wants to. It'll be a few times a day, but it's not something that's constant. Okay. So we kind of talked about seeing them. You know, you hear stories also of archangels appearing in full form to people, to children, to people, you know, in church. Like, I saw him, he came to me. Is that possible? Yes. I think, again, it depends on your ability, if sight is your strongest. But for others, again, you might just feel a very strong presence. And again, that can be indicative of the archangel, or you might hear them, as I can do, which is an interesting experience unto itself. So I've also had the wonderful opportunity to speak with Archangel Gabriel more often than I expected, because I love to write and to read, and he is known for helping writers. And I'll feel a very strong presence hanging out with me while I'm writing, and I'm like, oh my God, who is here? I can't even write. And it's Archangel Gabriel trying to help me. So if you call upon these archangels, you know, to guide you with certain aspects of your life, they will come and they will help you. And you'll probably, again, depending upon where you're at in your psychic ability, like the development of that, they'll appear to help you that way. And you'll see, hear, or feel them. And you can just talk with them like you're talking to a normal person. I'm trying to think of a couple of other experiences that I've had with some of these archangels. I have had Archangel Michael chastise me once or twice, in truth, because I was complaining. And I think that sometimes we need a little bit of tough love for guidance and to really move forward. There's a couple of things that I want to address, and then I think that would, we can cap the conversation. But I've had more experiences with Archangel Raphael, who gives me a lot of perspective on healing, but also in life. It's very gentle in terms of his guidance. It's very thoughtful dialogue. So I feel like, and I see his green spark a lot, especially when I'm doing Reiki. And even when I'm not, he'll be there to guide me as well. I've also had the wonderful opportunity to engage with Archangel Uriel, who is also kind of like no nonsense. I don't know. Well, let me not talk about that. I'll save that conversation for another day. But I've had that opportunity to dialogue with him. Also with Archangel Metatron, who is definitely another no-nonsense archangel. We'll give you the information that you need, and that is it. At least that has been my interaction. And I've also had the opportunity to engage with... Oh, I should tell two stories and then go on. Archangel Jophiel, the Angel of Beauty. You know, all of the archangels, with the exception of Archangel Jophiel, to me have appeared as male. However, Archangel Jophiel has been the only one to come to me as a female, and I can actually hear the voice as a feminine voice, and the perspective is great. Like, I love when we get to talk because, you know, I have a lot of questions about life in general, being on the planet, incarnate, you know, I have all these big, crazy questions, and her perspective, I think, is beautiful. I'll give you one story about my interaction with Archangel Azrael, known as the Angel of Death. And it's kind of interesting because his name actually does mean whom God helps. Doesn't mean Angel of Death. But a lot of people have said through, I guess, near-death experiences that this angel appears to help cross over, or the angel appears in general. So when I started practicing mediumship, God, like 4 or 5 years ago, I was taking this class and I was at home and I was meditating one night, and it was the last meditation. And the craziest thing happened to me. I was sitting there, and you know, when you're in deep meditation, you forget where you are, you forget everything. You're just at that place. And all of a sudden, it was nighttime and it was a full moon, and I was in a cemetery. And it was very real. I felt like I was really, really there. And all of a sudden, boom, this winged man flies down to me and hits the ground really hard and stands up and looks at me. And if you are familiar with a lot of Greek statues and art, something similar to Alexander the Great or Zeus, one of those characters, you're familiar then with the kind of curly hair and the statuesque kind of body, right? That's very muscular, and the faces. Like, you, if you can reference Greek art, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what this angel looked like, definitively, like specifically, except for it had no eyes. It had no eyes. And I'll never forget it because it was so real. And I was standing there like, who are you? And he told me he was the Angel of Death. And he came there specifically because I was developing mediumship and it was time to move to the next level. And he was going to show me things because he was the Angel of Death. So he was an angel working with those types of spirits. And at that time, truthfully, there's a couple of things that he showed me, and I was very like, ugh. I wasn't ready at the time. I was nervous. I was very nervous because I had been having so many experiences. Even as a kid, I've had so many experiences with spirits. I just was still not sure. And so he closed the doors until I was ready. And he let me know that, and he left. However, I will say it's just that experience I will never, ever forget because it was so real. And also for him to appear like that is very different than the way I've seen other archangels. So anyway, that was my little story with Archangel Azrael. When I have practiced mediumship after that and called forth other spirits that have been, you know, crossed over, he'll come. And he'll be there and he'll tell me first thing, adjust your vibration. And then I'll see the doors open and he will bring forth, and other archangels will be there to bring forth the spirit. So anyway, that's been my wonderful experience with Archangel Azrael, but he was very, very kind about everything. And he knew my heart. So how do you reach the archangels? Again, it's very similar to how you reach your guardian angels. It's the thought, the intention, the belief, and calling them forward. If you're really wanting to work with your archangels, all you have to do is start that dialogue. Just start talking to them. Talk to them. When you, if it's your preference to like pray, then I would light a white candle and I would pray and just start talking to them then and ask them to come into your life to provide some guidance. You can specify if you want them to come into your meditation, if you want them to come into your dreams. That will be the easiest way in the beginning. But don't be afraid to just start talking to them, because even if you can't feel, hear, or see them at the beginning, they'll still come. Okay, last thing I know I have to say, because I feel like they told me this while I'm talking, And this conversation is so long, this could be like a 3-part podcast, but I won't do that to you. There's 2 things I needed to say. So with the archangels, how many are there? I feel like this is important because I think there are many. I think that there are so many that we have no concept of how many there are. I think because I believe God is a creator, constantly creating, like we are creative beings, right? That's at the root of who we are. I think there's archangels always being created. So there's no cap on, you know, the number. And I'm not telling you these are the only ones. And this is important for me to mention because there was a presence around me the past few years, and I kept hearing his name, and I didn't know what the heck he was. I didn't know if he was an archangel, angel guy. I couldn't get that information. And then finally, I got confirmation a few years later. A friend of mine was reading me, and she said, you know, I keep seeing an archangel around you, and his name was blah, blah, blah. And I think I cried because I kept hearing this name, and I knew that it was there to help me, but I just did not understand. I didn't know where it came from, and it was an archangel that I've never read about. So I know that there are many others who will come to help you, that God will send to you specifically. And I say that because I asked him, I was like, why are you here? I've never heard of you. I'm not finding you in any of these texts. And he was like, I was sent by God direct, and I'm okay with that. So there we go. Now, last piece of information I know I'm supposed to say is how, if you can't hear, see, or feel right now, how can you get messages from your guardian angels? My guardian angels told me, they're like, you know, if anybody is struggling with that, not only, you know, of course you need to resort to prayer and meditation, yes, and all the things I just told you, but place your hand on your heart and hold it there and just do some breathing and ask your angels a question. They told me the answers they give you will always come through the heart. The answers will always be put there. It's just your job to tune in and listen. The voice or the message that you get, the answer that you get is not going to be screaming at you, okay? So you might not hear anything and you might not see it. It's just going to come like claircognizance. There's the knowledge and there's a phrase or something that's going to come to you and it's them. So you need to trust it, but it's always through the heart. All right, everybody, I think I've rambled, and I thank you so much for listening to me today. I really appreciate it. I look forward to talking to you guys next week. I hope you have a wonderful week ahead, and if you really, really want to engage with your angels and archangels, you can do it. Just follow some of the steps that I gave, and the more you believe, the easier it'll be. All right, everybody, have a great week. Take care.